From the VIP lounge to the gridiron, it's everything you need to know, from pop culture to free throws. This is Cleats and Cocktails with your hosts, Meg and Daniela.
Welcome to Cleats and Cocktails. I'm Daniela.
And I'm Meg. This week's episode of Cleats and Cocktails is brought to you by Mimosas, which is pretty much one of our number one favorite cocktails.
I don't know how we haven't done a mimosa yet.
I know. It's crazy.
It's been almost a year.
I feel like there was a point where we were doing an episode on a holiday Monday, and we had had brunch, and we thought about doing mimosas, but then nothing was open, and we didn't have the ingredients, so we couldn't.
That was the time we did Bailey's.
Yes.
Just Bailey's.
Yes. So we definitely thought about it, naturally, when we had had brunch, because obviously mimosas go with brunch. So if anyone doesn't know, a mimosa is basically half a champagne flute of sparkling wine, Prosecco, champagne, whatever you have, topped with orange juice. And if you want to get fancy, you can add about a tablespoon of Grand Marnier, which we did. Passion fruit Grand Marnier, in fact.
Yeah, it's like, I found it at the airport like 5 years ago, so unclear if it's still good, but we did it.
Yeah, I don't think alcohol goes bad.
I think that's how that works.
I mean, maybe Bailey's.
Yeah. Remember that time I served Greg like 5 years old Bailey's at my parents' house?
Yes, I do.
I'm so thrilled we're doing mimosas because I feel like they're the lone drink that we consume that I feel healthy drinking.
Mm, true.
You know, we're getting our vitamin C for the day.
Yeah.
Exactly. And I feel like you can consume like a pitcher of mimosas and still go about your day.
Yeah.
A little bit hazy, but.
Yeah. Like go about your weekend day.
Yes.
Not your work day, probably.
Thank you for clarifying.
Yes.
I don't drink at work. okay, so this week we are going to do our Pick 6 news stories, and then we're going to do fantasy football forecast. We actually don't have a ton of, like, segments this week, but we have a lot of news stuff we need to catch up on.
Yeah, for sure.
We sort of touched on a couple things in our little mini-sode from last week. Mm-hmm. So everything we didn't catch up on there, we are going to get into now.
All right, well, let's just jump into Pick 6.
And it's going to be a Pick 6!
Okay, so first up this week, as per the title of our episode, MLB playoffs are in full swing.
Mm-hmm.
And it is finally time that Meg and I acknowledge it as a sport.
Yeah, we really did a good job of, like, breezing right by it.
It's been all summer.
We kept talking about how at some point we were going to have to talk about baseball, and then we sort of just didn't.
No, we didn't.
I think mostly because the Jays weren't good.
That's true.
I mean, we talked about some of the Jays players, but like we didn't talk about baseball as a whole. Let's call it what it is. We didn't.
It's true. It took us until October to finally acknowledge it. So baseball playoffs are actually in full swing. They started last week. There was the wild card games, which we talked about in our mini-sode. Currently, the Vegas favorites have Houston winning, or the favorites to win, at plus 233. Second place is the Dodgers at plus 275, so fairly close between the two of them. I still could not explain to you what those numbers mean, despite the fact that we've done this about 10 times on this podcast.
Yeah, I can't either.
Is this where if you bet $100, you'll get 233?
If you bet a dollar,
I think.
Fuck. Because it's time. It would
never
be times 233.
Okay.
Right. So it'd be like if you bet a dollar. But if they're the favorite, then you wouldn't win $233.
No.
So maybe you have to bet $233 to win a dollar. That doesn't seem right either.
Why do we never get this right?
I don't know.
I can't make it compute in my head.
Me neither. I'm sure our husbands will listen to this and be like, okay, guys.
God damn it.
Here it is.
Again.
For the 100th time. So maybe next week we'll have a better explanation, but
we'll circle back on that.
Yeah.
Okay. So just to give a quick, like, update, sort of mini what's the call on how baseball playoffs work. Their format is a little bit different than other sports, which I had a brief complaint about in our mini-sode. It's like a one thing I hate about sports segment. So basically, in baseball, you have two wild card games that happen, and they're between two teams each. So it's like a winner-take-all game. So each of those wild card games happens before the playoffs start, 2 days after the regular season ends. So those happen. The winners of those two games go on to the division series, both on the American League side and the National League side. So there's two leagues in baseball, American League, National League. So the two wildcard games happen, and each of those teams then move into the division series for both leagues. also known as the ALDS and the NLDS. The team with the best record faces the wild card, and then the other two left over, there's four teams that make it in each division, those two teams face each other as well. It's a best of five series. That all happens. It's actually currently underway now. And then from there, it will then move into the League Championship Series. Huh. I don't fucking get it. It's really confusing. Also known as the ALCS and the NLCS.
Okay.
So the four winners from the ALDS and NLDS then square off against each other in their respective leagues still.
Okay.
So they're still split down the middle. That's a best of seven series. And then the winners of those, you'll be left with like two teams each or one team each on each side. And then they go to the World Series. Oh. World Series is best of seven.
So essentially what we're in now would be the quarterfinals.
Yes.
And then the winners play each other in a best of seven, which is basically the semifinals. And then they play each other in the finals, which is the World Series.
Thank you for making that a lot easier to explain. Because I don't know why baseball just doesn't call it that. Why does baseball have to be so weird?
Yeah.
This is why people don't understand the sport. Even though it's not that hard of a sport to understand, all of this shit makes it confusing.
It does. I agree.
Okay, so currently in the ALDS and NLDS, the current teams playing each other are the Braves versus the Cardinals, the Astros versus the Rays, the Dodgers versus the Nationals, and the Yankees versus the Twins. So all four of them are actually playing today, being Monday, as we speak. So currently, Houston is leading the Rays 2-1 in that series. Again, it's a best of five, so if they win one more game, then they'll move on. The Atlanta Braves are currently up in their series 2-1 against the Cardinals. The Dodgers are currently up against the Nationals 2-1, and the Yankees are currently up on the Twins 2-0. Womp, womp. So from there, like I said, we'll move into the ALCS and NLCS. Also, the World Series, one of the questions that I always had was, like, how do you determine home field advantage? And so I always just assumed it was, like, whoever has the better record because that would make sense. But obviously baseball has to be difficult. So currently, in our current iteration of baseball playoffs, yes, whoever has the better record does have home field advantage, which obviously makes sense. But they have a long, stupid history of ways they used to determine home field advantage.
Yeah, wasn't it the All-Star game for a while?
Yep, it was. Whoever won the All-Star game was the one who got home field advantage, which was so fucking stupid.
That's outrageous, because whoever has home field advantage for the World Series...
Literally!
That's a huge deal.
Yes.
And to just win an All-Star game, like, I don't know, does that mean much?
But that's the thing is, like, All-Star games are supposed to be, like, fun, and everyone's, like, relaxed, and it's, like, a good time, and nobody cares what happens. Like, you're making it, like, a legit game.
Yeah.
It was terrible. And before that, they just used to swap back and forth. Year over year, it would just flip back and forth as to who had home field advantage. Who decided
why do they have to be so weird about everything?
I don't know. It's not hard. All the other sports follow the same rules. Yeah. Why do you have to be weird and different?
Yeah. Very weird.
Anyways, so that's a very convoluted explanation of baseball playoffs. Like I said, the ones that are likely to win are, or projected to win are going to be the Houston Astros or the LA Dodgers. By the time we film this pod, the World Series will probably already be on next week. So, like...
Is it on that quickly?
It'll be pretty quick. Oh, it won't be next week.
October 22nd is the first game.
Like, that's not far away.
No, it's not. They really breeze through.
Like, they don't even try to, like, maximize playoff time. Like, four games are on tonight. Eight teams play.
Yeah, and we were just saying some of the games are happening right now. Like, at 4:30 p.m. Eastern time, the games are already on.
Literally.
Like, that's literally... 1 p.m.
Yeah.
1:30 p.m. on the West Coast.
What are you... people are at work. Yeah. Remember when we were at work when the Jays were on?
Yeah. And we would just leave.
We had to, like, very heavily flex our hours all those years ago. And, like, lunch breaks, laptop open because the Jays were playing. Like, exactly. It was so dumb.
Yeah, it is dumb.
Especially because, like, you know playoffs bring in all of your ratings and the most money. So why would you not have them play, like, two games on one night, two games on the next night, two... Like... As you would with most playoff series. Why do you have four games in one night? It doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah.
Maximize your TV viewing.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
Well, it's because they have such a long freaking regular season that they then have to, like, wrap it up quick because some of the fields that they play at don't have roofs. So they can't be playing, like, in... Well, I don't know. I guess we have a roof. Where's somewhere else that's north? I guess New York? I don't know if all of the fields are in New York. Yeah. So, like, if it starts snowing or something, or, like, Boston. I don't know if Boston.
Again, all you have to do is start playoffs earlier and make the season shorter.
Literally.
You know?
Yeah.
Anyways, that's our gripe. I'm liking that we slipped in a 10 things I hate about sports into this.
Yes. 10 things we hate about the MLB, in fact.
Specifically.
Yeah. Okay. Well, next up, we're going to talk briefly about the NCAA sports, I guess, college sports in the States. It was announced a couple weeks ago that students who are playing in California will be able to sign shoe deals and endorsements and get compensated for them, as well as profit from their likeness starting in 2023.
This is now, huge.
You might be asking yourself, oh, they weren't already receiving compensation for this? No, they were not. Nor do they get any sort of compensation for playing, other than the fact that obviously they're getting a full scholarship to be there. So that's always been the argument, is like, they're getting the best gift of all. They're getting an education.
Yeah, those one and done kids taking lawn clipping.
Yes.
For two semesters.
Exactly. That's the thing that makes it outrageous, is like, maybe one out of 50 kids that goes to play collegiate level sports actually sticks there and like gets a degree and like makes use of that. Like, I can't imagine it's much more than that. Like, it's a really, really small percentage.
Yep.
So I just don't really feel like it's fair to say that that's the compensation. But what I'm sort of confused about is why this is just in California. Like,
I am surprised. Yeah. You know what? That is a good question, because I don't know how, like, the state is able to make a determination versus, like, the NCAA is, like, a governing body for the whole country.
Yeah, it's, like, national.
But is it perhaps that it's a matter of, like, it's a state-level decision on wages for employees? Perhaps, like, they'll be deemed employees and therefore it falls under the state's regulations, what they choose to do with it, irrespective of the NCAA and what they do?
Yeah, maybe. I just feel like that's weird, because then, I don't know, like, it just seems unfair.
Oh, it totally is unfair, but it's great for California, because those schools are going to be like, people are going to be dying to play for them. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, to be fair, we've talked about this more than once on this pod, that it's absolutely insulting that people do not get paid for being athletes, like student athletes.
Right. And I think, I mean, maybe it's one thing to not pay them to play because they're playing as a college athlete. Fine. Right. But the fact that they weren't even getting compensated for all of their like endorsements and stuff, because they definitely had them.
They make a shit ton of money too. Like, the schools make a ton of money on people's jerseys and like all of that merchandise. You don't think that like Zion Williamson could have been making bank?
Yeah, he should have been being compensated for all the jerseys that were bought with his name on it. Does he have to be paid, like, for the games he played or whatever? Okay, maybe not. Like, maybe you could make an argument to say that, like, you know, college-level athletes shouldn't be paid to play, but they should certainly be paid or compensated appropriately for stuff that has, like, their name and their face on it and stuff.
Or the flip side of it, if you're not going to, like, if you can't figure out how to compensate people for merchandising or endorsements, then pay them as employees. Like, even if you paid them minimum wage, people would be less upset. Mm-hmm. You literally give them nothing. And there's a lot of stories about kids from, like, the projects getting into university, and they're literally starving because they can't afford to eat, and somebody gives them a free meal and the NCAA like suspends them because they've taken something for free. And it's like, well, you're making like millions of dollars off of this one person's likeness, and they take a free meal and automatically their season is canceled. Like, it's fucked. So
the other thing with the compensation, I guess, that makes it sort of unfair again, is that really that's just going to be the top athletes on each team. Right? Like, if you have people further down the list who are playing every game and practicing every practice and whatever, but they maybe just aren't quite as good, or they aren't quite as popular, their jerseys aren't going to sell as much, they're not going to have the endorsement deal, so then they still get nothing out of it.
Right.
So, I mean, they're moving in the right direction, but it's still a very small step.
I agree. You know what, though? Like, I will take anything we can at this point. I think it's a good first one. I feel like it's going to be a cascade effect. Mm-hmm. California's going to do this. They're going to see a massive uptick in people wanting to play for their schools and, like, good athletes wanting to go there because they know they're going to get compensated fairly. And it's going to cause other schools to be like, well, shit, now Kentucky can't get the best students because they're all going to, like, USC. Mm-hmm. So maybe they're going to have to rethink it. And, like, I'm glad they're doing this.
It's still a ways out, though. 2023 is still, like, what, 4 seasons away, basically? So
it's still got away,
but maybe other states will jump on board in the meantime, so who knows.
Yeah. More to come. Mm-hmm. Okay, so jumping into NBA briefly, we are just giving a quick update, mostly on the Raptors. Mm-hmm. Kyle Lowry has signed a 1-year extension, very excitingly.
Yeah, so was this his last year on his contract?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah. So, we got, I think it's like $30 million for the year.
Right.
It is high for a player who's like a bit older and like really, but basically from everything I read, a lot of people are very, very satisfied with this deal. What it essentially does is bridges us because end of next season's free agency class is very poor. A lot of people are locked into 2-year contracts, 3-year contracts, but the year after, it's going to be like LeBron comes up again, Kawhi comes up again, Paul George comes up again. So basically this is a great bridge deal for the Raptors because we get K. Lau for another year. It saves us through a free agency class that's not great. And then if we want to re-up him after that, we can, probably at a lower price. And it allows us to then explore the free agency market. The Raps actually have a lot of money right now, I'm pretty sure, or going to have a lot of money because we didn't get Kawhi or anything like that. So also, a lot of people think that, like, even though it's a high-paying contract, it's actually considered, like, to be a really good, like, sign of good faith towards Kyle Lowry. People are, like, inside the league are taking it as, like, they're doing right by their players, which is good to keep the reputation of the team up because it attracts free agents.
Right.
So, and I mean, Kyle was the de facto leader of this team, you know? So, I mean, I'm not mad about paying him. We're in a year where they're not going to win a championship. Pay him, let him ride out his career with Toronto. I'm not mad about it. So, it's good. I'm not mad. I love K-Lo. You know?
Yeah.
On the flip side of the NBA, a story that I'm not thrilled about coming out of basically upper management. So essentially, Daryl Morey, who is the general manager of the Houston Rockets, had tweeted out either yesterday or early this morning, I think it was yesterday, about his support for the Hong Kong protests going on right now. And for anyone who isn't caught up in world news, Hong Kong is currently actively protesting because China is actively trying. First, they tried to put in an extradition bill that would allow people from Hong Kong to be extradited to China for like court and whatever. And Hong Kong is very adamant on maintaining its independence. So they've been protesting. Following that, the protests got more severe. There was a lot of police brutality. So now Hong Kong is protesting basically for their freedom. That's the story. Daryl Morey goes ahead and tweets out his support for Hong Kong. Cool. Says, like, you know, fighting for freedom. Awesome. And essentially the country of China freaked the fuck out. They basically, the consulate reached out to the NBA, reached out to the Houston Rockets, and were like, you need to quote unquote correct this mistake because China is very, very concerned about how it's perceived with the in terms of this protest and things going on. So it left everyone in a really interesting position because it basically put the NBA at the forefront of what they're going to do. Are they going to support China? Or are they going to allow for, you know, freedom of speech? We support human rights, et cetera, et cetera. So very awkwardly, the NBA, Adam Silver, the commissioner, and has basically forced Daryl Morey to retract his statements. His tweets were later deleted, and he put out a very long Twitter message saying that he did not understand the quote-unquote other perspectives on this issue, as though there's other perspectives on human rights, but that's fine. And he was forced to apologize for making this tweet, or for tweeting this out. And so it's, a lot of people are really pissed off and disappointed in the NBA because it seems extremely hypocritical from an organization who is very vocal about standing up for human rights and all of these things. And like a couple years ago, the NBA actually retracted a game, an all-star game from North Carolina because they were passing a transgender bathroom law. And the NBA was like, nope, we don't support that. We support everybody. We're pulling our all-star game. But as soon as we're presented with a case where a big market like China, $4 billion a year in revenue, demands that they fold, the NBA gave in.
Right. So I think, I don't know if you mentioned this, but I think the main thing was that China was threatening to no longer air NBA games,
yes.
Right? So whatever media deal they have with China was $4 billion a year. They were saying that if he didn't take this tweet down, they weren't going to continue that.
And they threatened to pull any endorsements. They threatened to do a whole bunch of shit. So it's just really disappointing, in my opinion. This was not a difficult, like, you could have just left it. You could have left Daryl Morey to, like, handle that tweet if he wanted to. And, like, I don't think it's a bad thing to support your, like, people protesting for their freedom. And I think it's just a really poor image. The NBA is, like, getting a lot of flack right now on Twitter. I was reading a few tweets and, like, senators in the U.S. are, like, actively being, like, why did you do this? Mm-hmm. They are, like, they're currently committing human rights violations. So, mm-hmm. like, what are you guys doing?
Yeah.
So it's a really awkward situation. It's not great. I'm really disappointed in the NBA. And it sucks that Daryl Morey was forced to put out a tweet that seems so disingenuous, like it was written by a publicist. Right. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. The thing I can't wrap my head around is, like, of all the things going on in the world and of all the people who I'm sure feel like China is not handling this whole situation appropriately, that they would, like, zone in so hard on some random general manager of an NBA team in America.
Yeah.
I just don't really, how would they have even known about his tweet?
That's what's so creepy, right? Like, what are you monitoring to make sure that your image is upheld with the way that you want it to be upheld?
Yeah.
It's fucked.
Like, if I tweet something, are they going to come at me? Is China going to be like, yo, bitch, take that down?
Cleats and cocktails! Yeah. We're coming for you.
Like, what the heck?
Yeah. I mean,
obviously not the same thing, but it seems extreme.
Agreed.
Yeah.
So anyways, that's that.
All right. Moving on to more exciting news, Toronto FC are going into playoffs
this season
with home field advantage, which is great.
Shocking.
They beat Columbus yesterday at home, and they have their final regular season game this coming, I think it's Friday or Saturday the 10th, against DC United. So that game doesn't really matter at this point. They've for sure clinched playoffs and they have home field advantage. But their first matchup in playoffs is actually against DC United. So it'll basically be a preview of that game. Yeah. And that will be on October 19th. So the way MLS playoffs work is that all of the rounds are just single elimination games. So they're not like aggregate based like the Champions League games are and that sort of stuff. So basically you just play the one game, you win, you move on, you lose, you go home.
Like Super Bowl.
Yeah. Yeah. And like tennis.
And tennis.
Yeah. So basically they'll play DC United. If they win, they will go on to the conference semifinals, and they would face the New York City FC. They've already got a bye into the second round, so that game would be on October 23rd. And then if they win that, they go to the conference championship, which is another single elimination game. The winner of that game advances to the MLS Cup. And whichever team in the MLS Cup has the most regular season points, like we talked about before, which makes the most sense, hosts the MLS Cup game. So definitely a few rounds to go. Not sure that they're going to have the team to make it all the way to the end this year, but we'll see.
I'm not super confident, but then again, I didn't even expect them to make the playoffs this year, and they surprised me. They seem to have kind of gotten their shit together a little bit, so who knows?
Yeah. So basically, the final game, the MLS Cup game's on November 10th, so basically it's about a month of playoffs, roughly.
I feel like this is earlier than previous. I remember there being, like, the one that TFC played in, I remember it being later because it was snowing.
Well, it could be snowing on November 10th, couldn't it?
Yeah. I just remember because I was doing, like, a friend's Christmas.
Oh.
Like, that's how late it felt. But anyways.
Was that for something different? Was that for, like, CONCACAF or something?
Oh, maybe it was CONCACAF. Maybe I'm misremembering. You're right. Because, yeah. I mean, when I went to their parade, when TFC did win, it was effing freezing.
Mm.
It was, like, full-on, like, snow parade. Mm. It was a good time, though. I mean, like, I really hope TFC actually does do well in this because they've had a couple of rough years. And I really like to see them turn it around a bit. Like, they have a really devoted fan base in the city.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, especially because, like, you're in Liberty. You get to see the, like, the mm-hmm. proper, full-on
yep.
march to the stadium and everything. Like, it's really sweet. So, mm-hmm. hoping for good things.
Yeah, hopefully.
Yeah. Okay, jumping in to gymnastics.
Yeah.
We never get to talk about gymnastics on this pod, and we're big fans.
It's true.
Big fans. So, story coming out of gymnastics this week is that Simone Biles, probably the best gymnast in history, actually definitely the best gymnast in history, an adorable little queen. She is currently, an article came out this week, she's currently being essentially penalized for basically being able to do skills no one else can. The World Championships are underway, and she is debuting a couple of new moves that I won't even try to explain because they're so fucking confusing. But basically, there's a bunch of triple, double, flip, salto stuff.
Because we talked a while ago how she had, that wasn't for the World Championship, but no. She had, like, landed a couple of skills that no one else ever had.
Yeah, exactly. So apparently the international governing body of gymnastics has come out with I need to explain this properly in chronological order. Okay, so in gymnastics, their score, the way that they score things is that everything is assigned a letter value that corresponds to a numerical value. So there's like an A score, a B score, all the way down to J. At A, it's worth a tenth of a point, and every letter after is worth an additional tenth, getting all the way to J, which is a full point. So for every skill that you perform, it's designated a certain letter so that they can score it in an appropriate manner.
That sounds very confusing.
Yeah, it is. And like the hardest move is the J because it's the most difficult and it's worth a full point if you land it, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay.
Simone Biles is debuting two new moves, and essentially what this governing body has done is they've scored them lower than what they should be. So one of them is being scored a J. It's a triple double. I'm not going to try to explain it. It's valued as a J skill, rightly so. But the other one is only deemed to be an H, which is 0.2 points lower. And the reason why they're doing this is essentially to basically deter people from attempting it, including Simone Biles. The governing body has released a statement and basically saying that, like, we're trying to protect the discipline of the sport and the integrity of the athletes. Basically, they're worried that people are going to chuck up skills that they don't have to try and pad their scores in attempting to do these skills that are too hard for them. And they're worried people are going to get injured. The problem is that it's a bullshit statement because you have coaches for that reason. You have all of these other people that aren't the judges who are there to literally tell you, you can't flip that way off a beam. You're going to fucking break your neck. Don't do it. You're not good enough. So Simone Biles is essentially being penalized for being too good at her sport.
That's outrageous.
It's outrageous. And does this not sort of feel like Caster Semenya all over again?
Mm-hmm.
How convenient that they're targeting one person who happens to be exceptionally better than everybody else.
Right? Yeah.
So she's super pissed, obviously. It's such bullshit that she's getting penalized for this. And a lot of people are rightfully upset. And the governing body doesn't have a whole lot to stand on other than trying to claim that it's for player safety or athlete safety. So Simone Biles is continuing on. She's doing what she wants to do. She was also quoted as saying, am I in a league of my own? Yes, but that doesn't mean you can't credit me for what I'm doing. Like, hell yeah, girl. Yeah, you are in a league of your own.
She really is.
Like, she has completely redefined the sport. I absolutely adore her. She deserves to be recognized for her skill.
Yeah.
You shouldn't be penalized because you're so much better than everybody else. Was Michael Phelps? Again, we're back here.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I just can't even wrap my head around it, really.
Neither can I. And it's unfair that she has to, like, devalue her own skills in order to maintain them with her peers. Like, what the fuck is that?
Right.
How is that fair?
Well, yeah. And also, like, I'm sure that however many years ago, the, like, level of skill was so much lower.
Yes.
Like, over years, you just push and push the skill.
Yes.
Like, a lot of the stuff that they do now, they wouldn't have been doing 15 years ago.
No. If you watch, there's a YouTube video of the first ever perfect 10 score given on uneven bars, and it's, like, hot garbage. Like, watching it is like, I watched it once and I was like, what the fuck is this girl doing? Like, this is horrible.
Oh.
But it was like so over the top from what it was like, what it was at the time, that people were like, oh my God, this is revolutionary.
Right.
So just because she's doing the same, why is she forced to like devalue her own skill just to be able to achieve a score that would beat her peers?
Yeah.
So it's BS.
It really is.
I stand with Simone Biles. We stand her, even though she's American and kicks the Canadian team's ass in every Olympics. Basically. I don't even care. She's such a joy to watch.
Yeah.
But anyway, she debuted them regardless and didn't seem to care. And now she has two more moves named after her.
Oh my gosh.
The Biles too.
Wow.
Like, you have so many that they've run, like, they're using Roman numerals for you.
That's outrageous.
Like, I wish I was that skilled in any capacity. Anyways, moving on.
Well, switching gears, our last story of the week is another exciting story for a Toronto-based team. The Toronto Wolfpack, who we've talked about before on this podcast, won their league and moves up to the Super League for next year.
Yay!
Which is very exciting. Just to give some history, and I mean, we may have talked a bit about this before, I can't really remember, but the team only started in 2017, so this was only their third season. When they first started, they played in the third tier League One. And again, this is an English-based rugby league that they're just like a part of. So
they're like a work from home team.
Yeah, pretty much. So they finished first in their league in their first season, and then that resulted in them getting promoted to the second tier league, which is the RFL Championship League. And so that happened at the end of their very first season as a team. And then for the 2018 season, they were the regular season champs in the RFL Championship League. They competed in the qualifiers to get into the Super League, which is the third tier league. But they were one win away from the promotion to that league. Yeah. So they stuck in the RFL league for this year. And then just yesterday they played in the like final qualifier game, which is called the Million Pound Game.
What?
Again, it's British based. So that's why it's pounds, like $1 million game, but it's Million Pound Game.
Do you get $1 million?
I don't think so, but you get promoted to the next league.
That's not worth $1 million.
Yeah, I don't know what that's about, actually. I should have looked that up because I don't actually know if there's any money involved. But, I mean, in professional sports, there usually is, isn't there?
I mean, I suppose.
I don't know that it would be $1 million.
This sort of sounds like, do you ever watch CFL and they do those, like, giveaways when they hit the touchdown? What's it called?
Like the Safeway. Oh, yeah.
You win a cordless phone.
Yeah. yeah, so anyways, they played that this weekend, I think on Saturday, mm-hmm. And they won. So they have won the regular season, they won this million-pound game, and now they've got promoted to the Super League. So in 2020, they will be in the highest league in the, like, that's available to
that
them.
That is so cool.
Yeah, super cool.
Like, it's insane that they managed to promote themselves almost every single year they were in the league.
Yeah.
That's bonkers.
Yeah.
And it's so cool that they're doing this, like, remotely, essentially.
Yeah.
It's not easy. Like, most teams, like, most leagues are contained to one continent for a reason, for time change and everything. And, like, they're just going. And I'm so impressed that they've been able to not only maintain their status, but get better every single year.
Yeah.
The fact that they only missed it by one game last year is nuts.
Yeah, it is. So, yeah, basically this league will have 10 English teams and one French team. And the other cool thing is that there were almost 10,000 people in attendance at the game on Saturday.
Wow!
Which I think is, yeah, it says it's their first sellout in Wolfpack history. So, yeah, Lamport Stadium was sold out. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
I hope that they get promoted from Lamport Stadium. I mean, like, not that I don't love coming to Liberty to watch a game, and, like, there's something, like, really cute about coming to, like, an old stadium and, like, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? And, like, getting a beer out of someone's cooler rather than, like, a snack bar.
Yeah.
But I really want them to feel legit. I want them to be taken seriously by, like, Toronto sports.
Yeah. Yeah, it is kind of weird that they play there, but...
Also, side note, could not figure out the name for a Million Pound Game. I Googled it and there's nothing.
What do you mean?
Like, I mean, like, it's, I have an article about the Million Pound Game, but there's no reason why it's called that.
Oh, yeah, no, I can't really figure it out either.
Yeah, it's just billed as the Million Pound Game and full on written like pound 1M.
Yes.
Cool.
Yeah, it does not appear that they win £1 million.
That's the most disappointing part of this whole thing, to be honest.
Yeah.
But good for Toronto Wolfpack. Hundo P, we're going to have to watch some more games live because it was actually a really good time.
Yeah. I actually don't even think I told you the second game that I went to when just Greg and I went, somebody got engaged.
Oh.
Did I tell you that?
No.
Yeah, so somebody got engaged during, like, I don't know if it was halftime or some timeout or something like that. And then afterwards, they went down on the field. So it must have been during, like, a timeout both in the first half that it happened.
Okay.
And then during halftime, they went down on the field, like, to the one end where the scoreboard is. And they got all the, like, Wolfpack, like, dancers to come with, like, their pom-poms.
Stop.
And then they, like, reenacted it. And then they had, like, the photographer, like, taking all these photos. It was kind of cheesy. Because I was like, is someone else getting engaged? Like, is this a second proposal? Oh, no, they're just reenacting the proposal to get cute pictures.
For the gram.
Yeah. But, like, fine.
I mean, it looks epic, though, I'm sure.
Yeah.
That's really cute,
yeah,
though.
That's funny.
Also, that's probably the first time anyone's ever gotten proposed at Lamport Stadium.
Yeah, probably. If I had to guess, I would say probably.
Good for Wolfpack, though.
Yeah. So that pretty much wraps up pick six for the week, and we will move on into our fantasy football forecast.
Cue up Mariah. But it's just a sweet, sweet fantasy, so it's been a couple weeks since we've done a full-on fantasy football. The injuries continue.
They do.
I don't even know. It's been a destructive 2019 season. Mm-hmm. It's only week 5.
Yes.
Who is left? Like, I might get drafted to the NFL. Like, so,
it's not good.
The most notable injury that has come out of this week or last week is Mason Rudolph, who is the backup quarterback for the Pittsburgh Steelers, and is gone. Mm-hmm. He gone. He suffered an absolutely horrific hit that caused a really like a huge concussion. He was out cold before he even hit the ground. It was a really bad one. People legit thought he died. It was like not great. Mm-hmm. Juju Smith-Schuster, there's a video of him who plays for the team as well, who runs up and literally collapses in tears because he's like so worried and like upset about the situation. And like it was a very like sobering reminder of how scary the sport can be.
Yeah, there's been a few of those this season, I feel.
Yeah. Not good.
No.
And, like, they're, like, the effort is to try and make it a safer sport. And yet, like, it seems like this year has been one of the worst in recent memory. Mm-hmm. Like, why are we on third string quarterbacks in multiple teams across the league?
Yeah. That's not good.
Ugh. Anyway, so I don't even know who the backup is for Pittsburgh.
Not the third string backup.
Hutchinson something?
Yeah, I have no idea.
Let me Google that while you keep talking.
It can't be good.
No, don't pick them up.
No. similar sort of situation, not quarterback, but for the New York Giants. So a couple weeks ago, we talked about Wayne Gallman being the backup for Saquon Barkley, who was out with the high ankle sprain. Well, he actually ended up getting hit yesterday, out with a concussion, unsure of his status for next week. But as of yesterday, he was taken out of the game with a concussion. So they basically had no run game.
He had such a good game last week, too. He had, like, 20-something points for fantasy.
Yeah. So, not good.
The Giants are done.
I mean, yeah. Yesterday's game was rough. The Vikings played really well, though. Like, I watched a good chunk of that game. The Vikings played well. It's not really that the Giants didn't play well. But you've now got your rookie quarterback because Eli was so bad. He's not injured. He's just bad. So you put in your rookie quarterback, and now you don't have any running game.
None.
So that means you're fully relying on your rookie quarterback to throw the ball. Like,
Meg and I have cringe faces on, and like, it's not ideal.
I don't love that.
No. Also, the backup QB for Pittsburgh, Devlin Hodges. I was close.
You were.
It was started with an H.
I've never heard of him.
Yeah, don't pick him up.
Yeah, no.
These are two like big losses, man. Mm-hmm. God, that's terrible.
Yeah.
How did you do in fantasy this week?
Well, I'm not quite done yet. In the Cleats and Cocktails League, I am currently winning, but the team I'm playing still has Odell Beckham to play tonight. Ooh. So I think I need him to get 9 points or less in order for me to win.
Ooh, it's like a 50-50 as to whether that'll happen.
It is, yeah, because they're playing against San Francisco, who has like a decent defense. So like, I don't know. So we'll see. So, but my other league, whew, I was just terribly, it was a loss from the second it started. I don't even know really what went awry. But I picked Philly in Survivor League and they won. So
still strikeless. Good.
Yeah. Strikeless.
Killing it there. I know. One bright spot this season.
Seriously. What about you?
I won one of my matchups and I'm projected to win my other one to officially take me to 1-4. Ooh. I may finally break the O for blank curse.
Yes.
But I'm too afraid to say that out loud because I'm up by 40 right now. But worse things have happened.
who do they have left?
They have Jimmy Garoppolo and somebody else I can't remember.
Okay.
So
there were some people yesterday with huge scores.
Yeah.
Like a lot of people over 30 points.
Hi, Deshaun Watson, 41 points.
Yeah.
41 points.
Yeah. Michael Thomas got over 30. We were talking about, like, there was a whole list that we had created. Some wide receiver for Jacksonville. I can't think of his name. He's like a three-name guy.
Philadelphia's defense at 35 points.
There you go.
They
literally
won me my matchup.
There's another one.
Completely insane. 41 points from Deshaun Watson. Allen Robinson for Chicago at 21 points. Tom Brady actually had a decent game by his standards at 25 points. Like,
oh, yeah. Who is this? DJ Chark Jr.
Yes.
He's a wide receiver on Jacksonville. Never heard of him. 32.4 points.
He was like, actually project. Like, people, I read a couple of articles that said to pick him up, and I was like, please, Jacksonville. Like, not happening. And
seriously.
I ate my words big. Adam Thielen had a 25-point day.
Yeah. finally, after all the drama in Minnesota. I don't know if people are caught up on this drama, but essentially their quarterback, is it Kurt Cousins with a T?
I think it's Kirk.
Kirk Cousins. I always screw that up. Okay, Kirk Cousins. Not a great throwing arm.
Terrible.
And like not confident in his ability to throw the ball.
Nor is anyone else confident in his ability to throw the ball.
Correct. And so for the first 4 games of the season, there's been a lot of run game in Minnesota. He has not thrown the ball. I think he had thrown the ball over 20 yards like once or twice in the first 4 weeks. He was like number 20, like ranked number 27 for like the yards he's thrown.
Oh my God.
It was bad. So basically like Stephon Diggs missed a practice and missed a team meeting because he was just so annoyed with it all. Because he's a wide receiver, so he's not getting any throws. He's getting no action. So he got fined a bunch of money for that. For missing shit. Because you can't do that. Like, you're a professional athlete. Like, use your words. Go and have a conversation. Don't just, like, not show up. Like, be a big boy. And then Adam Thielen, I think, just called him out. And they said this 800 times during the game yesterday. But during some podcast, one of them has a podcast.
Oh.
And they addressed it on the podcast where Thielen was basically like, dude, you got to throw me the ball. And he was like, you know, I'm really sorry, blah, 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 blah.
I'm sorry. They had like a Sally Jesse Raphael moment on a podcast together.
Something to that effect. I didn't listen to it. I'm just going off the announcers who at one point Greg was like, stop talking about this podcast.
Oh my God.
Because they just kept being like, so yeah, on the podcast this week and blah, blah, blah. Anyways, he threw the ball yesterday. So he turned it around. And in a post-game interview, someone's like, oh, like, what did you kind of change this week? And he's like, oh, you know, it didn't really change much. And I was like, except for the fact that you threw the ball.
Yeah, slight difference.
So, you know, a little bit of a change, but.
Oh, man.
Anyways.
All right. Well, also, we have our first coaching casualty of the season.
Yes.
It's a quick hi-bye to Jay Gruden of the Washington Redskins as he was fired this morning.
Yeah. Washington Redskins are 0-5, so they have lost all 5 games this season so far.
You know what the worst part is about Washington? I despise that team. I despise their owner even more because he's responsible for that piece of shit organization. Mm-hmm. And what annoys me about this situation is that Jay Gruden was the winningest coach they've had in like the last decade, and they fired him. And, like, the players were, like, visibly upset at the idea of him getting fired. Like, they interviewed a couple of them yesterday post-game. And, like, I can't remember his name. One of the receivers was, like, in tears talking to the reporters, talking about, like, how that guy, like, Jay Gruden saw him and gave him a chance. And, like, now he's in the NFL and, like, he would be devastated if he lost him. And, like, fucking Dan Snyder, the owner, goes ahead and fires them. Like, what are you doing? You guys need to clean house top to bottom with your management and all the shit that you pull because, like, your team is actually trying. This isn't like a Miami Dolphins situation where, like they need the first overall pick. Like, your team is legitimately trying, and they were playing for Jay Gruden, and they were trying really hard, and you still fired him. Mm-hmm. So, like, you've lost any hope of that team wanting to play for somebody else.
Yeah.
Because they really liked him in the locker room, from what I understand.
Yeah. That's pretty crazy.
I hate the fucking Redskins, man.
Yeah.
They pick up the worst people, and their owner is a piece of garbage, and apparently they did, like, an indigenous blessing ceremony.
Oh.
And they've gone, like, they've lost, like, 10 games since then.
Oh.
Which is probably because your name is still the Redskins.
Right.
You know? That. Mm-hmm. But anyways, hi-bye to Jay Gruden. We wish you good things in other places where you may thrive.
Yeah. Yeah. On a more positive note, the Arizona Cardinals finally had their first win of the season.
Kyler! Yeah! Our boy!
They beat the Cincinnati Bengals,
who are 0-5.
An equally terrible team. So, I mean, one of them was going to get their first win. Actually, was Cincinnati 0-5?
Yes.
Oh, they were. Are. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, they were both going in 0-4. So, I mean, one of them was bound to get their first win.
Yeah. By law.
Unless they tied. That would have been, can you imagine?
0-4-1.
That would have been great.
That
really would have been.
The anarchist in me would have really wanted to see the chaos ensue with that. Because, like, there's something to be said about when 2-0-4 teams go up against each other and no one wins.
Yeah. That's something. Actually, somebody in our CNC Survivor League chose Arizona.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Bold pick.
I know. And totally panned out. Because when else are you going to pick Arizona this year?
That might be the most bold pick of them all this season.
Right?
That's... picking an 0-4 team is, like, ballsy.
Yeah, very.
What drove them to do that?
I have no idea.
I need to know.
Perhaps we should interview them on this podcast.
I really want to know what led them there, but good for you.
I think it might be because I know who it is. It was my friend Kate. And so she's seen them in person before. Like, she went to a game in Arizona. Oh. And so I think she might, like, have this idea in her head that they're still a good team because they used to be a good team. Oh. So she maybe just, like, it's a team that the name she recognizes. She's seen them in person. So she was just like, oh, I'll pick them. Like, I sort of feel like that might be the,
you know what?
The explanation, but I don't know for sure.
Hell yeah, because, like, she maximized the only value Arizona would have this season. Good for her.
I know. It's impressive.
So, also, on top of that, there was a big win for Indy over KC, Kansas City, this week. Mm-hmm. Happened last night, Sunday nighter. Patrick Mahomes was fucking hobbling around that field. He sprained his ankle partway through the game, and then it got stepped on by his own player. So it was real bad, and he basically couldn't walk. He just, like, hobbled his way down to try and, like, move the ball forward. It wasn't a good look. I don't know what his current status is. I'm assuming they're just gonna, like, physio the shit out of him this week so he doesn't miss anything, because currently, I mean, they were undefeated coming into this game, right? Yeah, like, you can't slow that roll.
Yeah.
I don't even know who their backup is. Unclear.
Yeah, I don't know either.
So, but it's a huge win for Indy. I think there's also a player on Indy, I think he's a defensive player, who got cut by KC last year. And this was, like, their first, like, rematch since he was cut. And, like, he had a huge sack or, like, a big tackle at the end. And, like, it was a whole thing. And he was, like, super excited. And, like, they interviewed him after the game. And he was just, like, so proud of himself and, like, how far he had come. And, like, it was just wonderful.
Wow. We talked, like, obviously we've talked a lot about injuries on this podcast and how, like, the NFL tries to make things safer, but this season just seems to be terrible.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of late helmet-to-helmet hits.
I don't know why they're back.
I don't know either.
We had a good streak where it seemed like they were decreasing, and now they're just fucking everywhere.
Yeah, they actually, like, when you see them, and especially when they replay them, like, 800 times like they do, awful. You feel so sick. But essentially, there's a defensive player who plays for Oakland, Vontaze Burfict.
Yeah.
Saying that right? Overall, just a dirty player in general, like, has been known to be that for a long time. But 2 weeks ago now, when Oakland was playing Indianapolis, he hit Jack Doyle, Indianapolis's tight end, helmet to helmet, and ended up being ejected from the game. And then afterwards, when the NFL reviewed the play, they actually suspended him for the remainder of the season. So he's out for the season. I think really he should just never be allowed to play again.
Fucking agreed.
Because the other thing is that he doesn't... Some of these guys, like, when they hit someone and they get injured, you can see they're so remorseful. Yeah. Like, they know it's a game and that's their role, but, like, they don't really want to hurt anyone.
Yeah.
So, like, they feel bad. For him, he, like, walked off the field, like, grinning.
Yep. And he's done this before. He has, like, broken people's legs and he's done helmet-to-helmet hits. And, like, he's gone for people in the dirtiest ways and he's never shown remorse for it. Mm-hmm. I'm fucking done with him as a player. I hate the fact that people still give him jobs because, like, he needs to be done.
Mm-hmm.
He needs to not come back. Apparently, like, still, again, we're back to the fact that if you smoke weed, you're out for longer than if you fucking end someone's career.
It's true. I heard some of the announcers yesterday on, like, the morning, like, NFL Sunday morning prep, whatever, saying that they feel like the NFLPA should not get behind him.
Ooh.
Because normally that's what they do, right? Like, they would, like, let their him union. Appeal the decision.
Yeah.
But if you think about it big picture, you're a players association. This guy is going after your players in, like, an egregious, dirty way. So, like, why, when you have all these other players who are at risk from this one player, like, why would you support him?
That's a great
point. And
try
to shorten his suspension.
Because, like, you're right in that at its core, the NFLPA is for everyone, not just him. Getting behind him shows other players that either A, it's okay to be a shitty person, or B, that they don't really care about your safety.
Right.
Yeah, so, I'm with you on that.
Yeah, pretty interesting.
Also, while we're talking about shitty people, did you see Antonio Brown filed a $40 million grievance against, like, the Raiders and the Patriots to try and recoup some of the money that he did not get?
With what sort of...
I know.
Like, stance? Like, what's his... Like, what's he trying to... I don't understand.
Yep. Apparently, the NFLPA is going to be behind him on this. They're going to try and help him recoup over $40 million in salary from the Patriots and the Raiders.
Oh, wow.
Why? He doesn't deserve it. It's like, basically he's saying that it was like guaranteed money, or like they were guarantees built into his contract that they didn't pay out when they should have. But it's like, pretty sure you violated parts of your contract. So why is it void for them and not for, or like void for, like, you know, one and not the other?
Right.
Why do you get to recoup money? But they, I don't know.
Yeah.
Also, apparently he's training to come back to the NFL.
Oh.
He like released a training video.
Oh boy.
People are like roasting him alive for it.
Oh boy. The saga continues.
The saga continues, and I hope that he just goes away. But he won't.
Yeah.
We're not that lucky.
No.
So I think that takes us to the end of fantasy football. I'm sorry to you if you picked up any of the people who got injured this
week. Seriously. Because the last thing I wanted to just mention is next week, Buffalo, Chicago, Indianapolis, and Oakland are all on bye weeks. So make sure, again, that you're double-checking your rosters. And if you have players who are, like you have on your roster playing and they have 0 points beside their name, you should be removing them with a player from your bench or picking someone off the waiver wires. As we've mentioned before, questions about this, email us cleatsandcocktails@gmail.com or DM us on Instagram or Twitter, and we're happy to try to give you some guidance.
From a couple of transaction trends that we're seeing on Yahoo this week, it seems like if you need a tight end, it seems like the LA Rams tight end Gerald Everett is a big pickup this week. I think he actually got like something like 14 points last week, so it seems like he might actually be a decent target. If you have a shitty tight end and you need someone else, maybe pick him up and put him on your bench and see if he continues to be a big target for them. He might even be good.
Is he their backup?
Honestly,
I think he must be.
It's a good question.
I'll look it up. Who else are we looking at, like, pickups?
We're also looking at Kareem Hunt.
I've got him on my bench.
Due back from suspension soon.
I felt really bad, like drafting him.
Yeah, I don't feel good about it.
I know.
You kind of have to weigh your fantasy season versus your morals.
Yeah.
And honestly, I can't blame you either way. He's probably going to make a huge splash once he comes back. He will be playing for Cleveland. He's due back after, what, week 7 bye? I think Cleveland is a week 7 bye, and then he's due back. So a lot of people, if he's not already picked up in your league, are going to start picking him up now, because we're looking at about week 5, week 6. He's due back in a couple weeks. So if you want him, take him now.
Just to confirm, the tight end you mentioned from LA is the backup. Their primary tight end is Tyler Higbee.
Oh.
He does not appear to be injured or anything.
He just sucks?
He just wasn't the target last week, so...
Also, from defensive standpoints, it seems like lots of people are going with Washington and Baltimore for this week. Baltimore's defense is always pretty decent, so not a bad choice.
Yeah.
If you're looking for a quarterback, Gardner Minshew is the trendy pickup of the week.
Oh, boy. Who are they playing this week?
They will be up against New Orleans coming up. Yeah.
Yes.
So, I mean, New Orleans, for the most part, it's not like their defense is particularly notable. So, if it's a high-scoring game, quarterback's feast.
It's true.
I really feel like that's probably something people don't realize, is for the most part, you kind of want high-scoring games across the board. Outside of your defense, everyone benefits.
Mm-hmm.
If there's lots of scoring, it means a lot of your players are getting, like, either touches or receptions or yards or touchdowns. It's really only your defense that severely suffer.
Yeah.
So you kind of, like, honestly, whenever someone plays New Orleans, I'm like, thank you, God. Because, like, you know it's going to be high scoring.
Usually it's like that with Kansas City, too.
True.
Yeah.
Very true.
Yeah.
So check out those matchups if you're looking to pick up people, because usually those are the ones where defense is out the window.
Yeah, pretty much.
And that takes us to the end of the pod.
It does.
Somehow, even without a third segment, we're still at 53 minutes.
Yes.
So, as Meg said, follow us on all those good things. Rate, review, subscribe, whatever those are all called.
Email us questions. Not sure if we'll be back next week because it is short week, holiday.
Oh, it's Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving. So may or may not, depending on scheduling.
Yeah, where you'll be in Canada.
Yes, exactly. But if not next week, we will definitely be back the week after.
God only knows what injuries await us.
Seriously. Hopefully none.
Oh.
Let's pray
for that. It's a good Thanksgiving for all.
Hopefully.
Cheers, guys.
Cheers.